Welcome, friends, to the Friday edition of The Grace Hour. And if you are new to our broadcast, The Grace Hour is that daily program that helps the believer navigate through their daily challenges, helps him or her learn about their faith in a very practical way. My name is Pastor John Love. I'm joined in the studio today, Pastor Ronaldo Brown. And today, we will be talking about the importance of having a spiritual covering. Thanks so much for joining us, friends, and we really appreciate you taking the time out of what I'm sure is a busy schedule that you have. And we want to remind you, don't forget, subscribe if you can to our broadcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And we hope, of course, that you're looking forward to a great weekend, and then that you'll be back joining us as we start our brand new week of broadcast next Monday. Thanks again for being with us today. We've got a great theme, a great subject. Looking forward to developing it with you, and we'll put the capstone on it today. And we've really enjoyed the broadcasts that have led up to today's Friday edition of the Grace Hour, and we hope that you'll join us. We do want to extend the invitation to do just that. The phone lines will be open, and if you'd like to weigh in and share your thoughts on this important theme of having a spiritual covering, because we'd love to hear what your comments are, or if you have a question about it, don't hesitate to reach us here at the Grace Hour. You can join us by picking up a phone, dialing one of these numbers, the toll-free number in all of North America. That's 800-338-7060. And the local number, 410-483-3700. And as I mentioned a moment ago, joined in the studio today by Pastor Ronaldo Brown. Typically, Pastor Shibeli is joining us, but he is not with us today. Going to have to settle for me sitting in his seat. But Pastor Brown, this is a great subject, great theme. I already feel very good about it because you're a good covering to have for today's program.
You stole the words right out of my mouth. Pastor Love's been a spiritual covering for, let's just say, more than three decades. And he started when he was seven. So there you go.
You're dating me.
I said seven.
But today is the right day to do that because today I'm celebrating a birthday. But I won't say which one it is.
Pastor Love is 30.
Yeah, there you go.
I would love, if you're listening to this program, and Pastor Love has been a spiritual covering for you in any way, call in and wish him a happy birthday. I would love to hear you say that. I would love to tell you how he's been there to help you with a spiritual covering. But that's one of those subjects right now that's been touchy maybe for the last 20, 30 years, this whole idea of covering. And I think, Pastor Love, the reason why it's been such a challenge for a lot of Christians is we view a spiritual covering the way we view a natural covering. And many of us have had bad experiences with natural coverings. We carry those experiences into the spiritual arena. And I want to say this thought for a second. The church is not a place for my past. The cross is. And sometimes my past experience of how I've dealt with coverings, natural coverings, I bring it in. So when I've got to deal with a spiritual covering on any level, it might even be my Sunday school teacher, the way I view my parents, I will bring that into the Sunday school teacher and I'll see them that way. If I fought with my father, then I may fight with my pastor. I remember pastoring a church in a certain part of Africa, and I said to a guy, I want to help you to grow with God. I don't want to replace God in your life, but I can't fight you to pastor you. I can't fight you to cover you. If you don't want me to cover you, fine, but I do want to say this to you. You do need a covering. Even if you disqualify me as a covering, don't disqualify the desire and the need for a covering. And I think sometimes when we have conflict or different things happen, we don't see the value of a spiritual covering. Mm.
And I think just the word itself, a covering, when you think about that word, mm-hmm. It reminds you, let's say you're caught in the middle of a rainstorm. Mm-hmm. And what do you want? You want to be covered.
Yes.
You want to be protected from the downpour or a snowstorm or something that perhaps is threatening to your life. Well, a spiritual covering mm-hmm. is really the essence of protection. And when you come under that spiritual covering, you're protected. Spiritually speaking, maybe you're being protected from false teaching, something that could mislead you and take mm-hmm. you down a wrong road mm-hmm. or bring you to a place where you end up, you know, a lot of confusion, a lot of trouble, a lot of anxiety and worry. A spiritual covering is designed to protect you and to keep you from that.
Mm-hmm. I think people don't see the value of it because they don't understand the relevance of it. Like, why was I'm saved? I'm in a church. I've got membership. Is that enough? But I like what you said. It's like there's this protection for me. It says in Ephesians 4:11, it talks about the pastor as a gift to the church. How it's interesting with the gift. A gift is not, I know how this is a season for giving, but when a gift is given, it's to be appreciated and it's to be used, right? The worst gifts are the ones you get and you can't use. And God knows, Pastor Lev, on your birthday today, you will receive some gifts, some polka dot ties and let's see, what else could you get here? You'll get like something weird, like you get, I'm the cook, aprons, kiss the cook aprons. It's like, but this is a gift. The covering is a gift, man. I like the word you said there for protection. And I'd add a second word, separation. I'm under something, so I'm separated. When I think of Exodus chapter 13, 21 and 22, Israel walked under a covering. It was cloud by day and fire by night. And that covering gave them protection from their enemies, but it also gave them it gave them separation from their enemies. There was this it was a distance. There was a separation, like a father is a covering for a family, and his family's under him, and there's separation from the world because we belong to him. We're under him. Not so much as ownership, but relationship. Because without a covering, you don't sense relationship. You don't sense it.
And, of course, a father has that instinct to cover his wife, mm-hmm. and to cover his children and to cover his home, his family. He does that instinctively because he knows that he's there to protect them.
Yes.
He's there to make sure that they're secure. And, you know, when it comes to spiritual coverings, let's just use the example, and there's many that we can use. We can talk about different spiritual coverings. But let's just say the pastor. The pastor is there as a covering.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say, well, you know, I had the experience of a pastor that was supposed to be a covering, but he ended up controlling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not his role.
Yes.
And the covering is never supposed to lead to control or manipulation, mm-hmm. or anything of that nature. He's just there to provide this spiritual protection, guidance, direction, wisdom, counsel,
mm-hmm.
words of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're all incorporated in that one word of spiritual covering.
But I like the word you used there. When people hear the word covering, the first thing they think of is control. Like, he's a covering for my marriage. It's control. He's a covering for my life. It's control. And the difference between covering and control is influence. How much influence do I have? I'm a covering for you, but I don't make decisions for you. I'm a covering for you, but I don't replace God to you. I'm a covering for you, but I come alongside of you. It's not so much as towering over me. I don't make any decisions without you. No, I think sometimes the lines get blurred. Sometimes I think some coverings are more aggressive. Like, I remember one time I was leading a team, and I had someone ask me, should we get a pet? And I said, as a covering, that's not a question for me. That's not my response. That's outside of the boundary of being a covering. But so funny about people, though, but then you're going to get married and you won't talk to anybody with no counsel, when that's what you should be talking about. So I think sometimes, and this goes to the second challenge with why people struggle with covering, it's not taught. I think there's a lot of ignorance about it. It's not taught. So people bring a natural understanding into a spiritual principle, or they think of spiritual coverings the way they think of a natural covering, and it's just different. It's very different.
And with this whole business of having a spiritual covering, we're also talking about the need for accountability.
Yes.
Let's say you're in the workplace. You could say that you're under the supervision of such and such an individual, but really, why is he there? Because he has to be accountable for your particular occupation. You're part of that workplace. And therefore, we find ourselves becoming accountable to our supervisor. I don't want to call him a boss, but somebody that's leading in a management position in the company. So we're accountable. And I think that's one of the most important parts of having a spiritual covering, is this accountability in our lives. And again, it's not to say that they have to step in and control every aspect of our lives.
Sure.
I mean, like the illustration of getting the pat on the team. Well, they might look to you and say, what do you think? And you could say, well, you know, you get a pat, you're going to be responsible for it. You're going to have to feed that pat. You're going to take them outside if necessary. When we go on a trip, a ministry trip, who's going to watch that pat? I mean, you could provide some, you know, counsel and some practical guidance about having a pet.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like you said, that's not my business.
Yes.
You know, that's up to, for you to decide. And I think that in the same way, we have to live our lives as believer priests unto God. And any real spiritual covering will honor the believer priesthood.
Yes.
And will honor the doctrine of privacy. In other words, this accountability, this spiritual covering, he's not in your life to control you and to find out every detail of your life and to make sure that you're operating the way he thinks you should operate. That's not his business.
Yes.
That's your business. Mm-hmm. He's there to provide the spiritual protection. He wants to make sure that the hireling doesn't come in and harm the sheep.
Yeah. I think a lot of people also struggle with a spiritual covering, if I can be frankly honest, because they're carnal. The natural man does not want spiritual covering. Bottom line, a lot of times we resist a spiritual covering because I want permission to live carnally or to live naturally. And at the same time, I don't want accountability. My flesh does not want to be accountable to something spiritual. That's why some folks don't want a pastor. I don't want that kind of accountability. I want to just come in from a distance, listen, take some things away, and walk away and have this distant relationship with the leadership, to have this distant relationship with the covering, and I don't want to be a disciple, and I don't want to be under any spiritual authority, because if I'm not submitted to spiritual authority, I am my own authority.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And it also brings this to my mind. It's easier to depend upon another person than it is to learn to depend upon God.
Yeah, that's the other
and,
side.
And we can replace our relationship with God by putting that dependence on another person.
Yeah.
For instance, just as an illustration in my own life, I came to know the Lord, and there was a brother that led me to Christ. And then he, for all practical intents and purposes, became my spiritual covering.
Okay.
He was assisting me. He was guiding me. He was taking me to Bible studies. He was answering my questions. He was helping me study the scriptures. And to a certain extent, I was becoming dependent upon him.
Mm.
And then after a period of time elapsed, he came and he said, I'm going to Bible college. And I remember very clearly what I said to him. You can't. I said, you can't go to Bible college. Yeah. I need you.
Wow.
And he said, no, you have God.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll teach you. He'll guide you. Mm-hmm. He'll cover you. He'll protect you. And I remember thinking to myself, this is not going to turn out well.
Yeah.
Because I need that person. It was so easy for me to put my dependence on him rather than to develop my relationship with God. I could see this man. I couldn't see God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this man was tangible in front of me before my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I could call him up. He could pick me up. I'm thinking to myself, God can't do those things for me.
Wow.
But he was absolutely right. I had to transfer that dependence from him as a young believer, learning to grow in my faith, to God, and it was really helpful and beneficial for me to learn that. Now, that's not to say that I lacked a spiritual covering in my life, because from that point, I went into a local assembly, I came under a pastor teacher, and then I had a new spiritual covering in my life. But ultimately, for all of us as believers, God is first and foremost our covering.
Amen. That I like that balance. On the one hand, I cannot live my life without a spiritual covering, and I cannot live my life without a spiritual walk. There's a balance there. There's a balance there, because God uses people. There's a balance there. And any good spiritual covering never loses sight of God in your life. And really, all good spiritual counsel will always take me back to God. Anyone that gives you spiritual counsel, if it takes you back to a person and doesn't take you back to God, that's not godly counsel. Godly counsel always eventually points me back to Christ. It's encouraging me. It's that parakletos. It's that come alongside and point to Christ. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But let's not lose sight of Christ. And a good covering lifts up Christ. Mm. A good covering points to Christ, and he teaches you how to look to Christ. And at the same time, but they're also aiding. They're not replacing. And I think there's the rub. People feel like a covering is replacing God. You want to play God in my life. Take my free will out of your pocket. Or you want to be that guy. No. You retain your free will, and you have God in your life. I'm just a helper of your joy, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a source of your joy.
Mm, good thoughts. And if we move from the covering, let's say, of the pastor teacher, which, again, you have to look at the pastor teacher for what he is. He's a gift.
Yes.
He's a gift that God brings into our lives to teach us, to train us, to give us doctrine, to nourish our souls with truth on a consistent and regular basis. So it goes without saying that that's one of the many coverings that God provides.
Yes.
Let's move from the pastor-teacher to the covering of the local church.
Okay.
How important is that covering?
Well, I do know this. God did not save you to abandon you, number one. So always know, in the word sozo, salvation, the root word has two definitions. The first definition is you're being taken from something. You're being rescued from something, which we all like. That picture of Christianity we love. I was like this. I was horrible. You know, I used to drive cars illegally. I was crazy. I took two straws, but I should have took one. I was a bad man. The very bad man. Okay, you were horrible. Yes, you were. So God took me from this, and you always hear that accentuation in their testimony. Yeah, what God took me to. No one talks about what God took them to. They talk what God took them from, not where God took them to. And the word sozo speaks of both. God rescues to rescue something from imminent danger and to put them in a place of safety, in a place of protection, a place of purpose. And that's what happened when we got saved. Colossians 1:13 does a great job of pointing that out. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into, and this is the great part, this is the Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2 anthem, Colossians 3 anthem, into Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5, into the kingdom of his dear son. God has put you into something because your life as a Christian has purpose. So the purpose that God has for your life is discovered in the place where he's put you. And under a spiritual covering, he's put you in a place where you can incubate in your call. You can be developed. But if you resist the place where God has put you into, what you're saying is God saved you from trouble and left you homeless.
Hmm. It's the same principle in the Old Testament for the children of Israel. The reason why he brought them out was to bring them in.
Amen.
Unfortunately, a lot of them get stalled in the wilderness.
That's one of the scariest verses in the Old Testament. Their carcasses were rotting in the wilderness because they refused to go in where God had called them in. A church is a phenomenal spiritual covering in my life. It's where I learn how to pray. It's where I learn how to practice the presence of God. It's where I learn corporate prayer, corporate sacrifice, corporate giving, corporate service. Spiritual service is taught in the church. Where else are you going to learn how to spiritually serve? Nowhere in the world can you learn how to spiritually serve but in the church, under a protection of a covering where you can be taught and developed. Because when you're born again, you're not experientially prepared to serve God. You're experientially prepared to know God through the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. But as far as practical, organic, operational Christianity, Romans chapter 12 living, Romans chapter 14, 15, 16 living, that kind of living, that kind of Christianity is taught to me. I'm taught that 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, that kind of living. What do you learn forgiveness with God's mind? The church. Where do you learn how to prioritize God in every relationship of your life? The church. What do you learn about your calling? The church. What do you learn about your gifts? The church. Where are all these things cultivated and developed? The church. Where do you learn how to get a vision from God? The church. And everything else that exists in the world is getting that from the church. Where is the number one place where you're taught the Bible? Should be the church, not 14 links online, but it's the church. So the church is a phenomenal covering for my family, phenomenal covering for my marriage, phenomenal covering for my singlehood, phenomenal covering. And you say, well, in the church, some things have happened. It's amazing how you glorify the bad things that have happened to the church and how soon you forgot all the things that God has done for you in the church. You sound like Israel coming out of Egypt. We used to have garlics and leek. You forgot you were building bricks with no straw. You forgot about the hard life you had outside. The church is not a place of perfect people, but it is a place of a perfect God. And there are people that are participating with the perfect God, and they're growing with God. They're growing with God. I don't want to be the Christian that becomes a church basher, that stands on the side and catcalls and yells and shakes my fist and says the church is a horrible place when it's not. How did you get where you are spiritually? If you got here, you didn't get here by yourself. I don't care how many commentaries you own and how many worship songs you sing. The body of Christ helped you. You learn in the church. It's a phenomenal covering.
Yeah. No, nobody climbs that mountain alone.
No.
It's always the recognition of others who helped us get to the top, so to speak. You know, I just love the fact that as we talk about the local church, the assembly of other believers, you know, there's so many accountability partners
yes.
within the body of Christ. There's so many people that can bring in the checks and the balances that we need in our lives. I mean, to have a brother approach you and to say, you know, sit down, have a cup of coffee, and maybe even to ask some of the hard questions, like,
sure.
What are you struggling with?
Mm-hmm.
What are you facing on a regular basis? What is it that's battling your faith and causing perhaps potential anxiety, worry, or fear? I mean, if you have somebody like that you can, you know, be honest with and accountable to, that's a covering in your life.
Yes.
Like recently on social media, I saw a woman get up in front of a congregation and said, and she's quoting from the book of James, and she says, we need to confess our faults to one another. And, you know, everybody was chiming in and saying how wonderful that is. And I chimed in and I said, no, it's not right. I said, it's confessing your faults to one another, which is another way of saying we need to confess our sins to each other.
Yes.
Is just going to make you know one another after the flesh.
Yes.
And that's dangerous. You don't want to get to know each other after the flesh. You can get together with other believers in an accountability group within the body of Christ in your local church without hanging out all your dirty laundry for everybody to see.
Yes.
And you can confess your faults, which is another way of saying, I'm struggling in a particular area. I don't need to get into the details. I covet your prayers.
I just
need to know, hey, if we could meet like this once a week, twice a week, it would go a long way to helping me find victory in this particular area. That's what accountability is all about. And to have others within the confines of the body of Christ there to do that for you, that's a covering.
Yeah, I think sometimes we hear the word covering like a blanket. We always think it's vertical. It's also horizontal. Every good Christian needs a pastor and one good godly friend. David had Jonathan and he had Nathan. One good godly friend. It's a horizontal covering. Someone that you can be open with without worrying about judging, that you can be accountable to. And in the body of Christ, also in different areas where you're involved, there's accountability all around you. If you're involved in your church, you are involved with accountability. In fact, if you're involved in anything in life, you're accountable.
Yeah.
You're not going to escape that. The person that doesn't want to be accountable is just not paying attention. You're accountable to something. You're definitely accountable to something. But in the church of Christ, there's a lot of help for me. There's a lot of help for us in the church through accountability and also support and encouragement and instruction. There's a lot of different aspects of recovery. It's not just someone that I can go to when I'm wrong, but someone that comes to me and I come to them. There's this quid pro quo. I can go to them and they can come to me. There's this connection and it's valuable for my life. And there's a lot of reasons why a lot of people go online and go talk to other people because they don't feel they have anywhere they can go. And recovering is a place that I can go without fear of judgment or condemnation. But there has to be free and open opportunity for interaction.
And you would love to see people make those decisions as to who they're going to make themselves accountable to, who they would like to choose, so
sure.
to speak, as a covering, to know that they're not going to be met with judgment. They're not
yeah.
going to be met with condemnation. But on the contrary, they're going to be encouraged. They're going to be restored in some cases and in mm-hmm. some instances. And they're going to they're going to understand that when they approach that person, they're going to receive the grace of God, and they're going to be dealt with mercifully. Now, here's a great question. How much influence should someone's spiritual covering have over another person's life?
Now, we've kind of touched this a little bit, and here's where the blurring of the lines has come in. If the spiritual covering is close to you, say it's a discipleship relationship, or even pastoral for that matter, or the person is close to you as far as time, they automatically have a lot of influence in your life without even trying. The person that who lives with you has a lot of influence. Proximity determines influence. When you have a lot of proximity with someone, negative or positive, there's a lot of influence. So there's no way of getting around influence. But I have to have a believer priesthood, and I have to discern how much influence I want to give this person in my life. And then also, as a spiritual covering, the person that you're covering may not have that maturity. So you have to discern boundaries. There has to be boundaries. And this goes back to the believer priesthood of a believer and the doctrine of privacy, and among other things, boundaries. I think there's some things, I don't think a spiritual cover can ask any question. I think there's some things that they need to lead. Obviously, they want to always be led by God, but there's some things you want to be invited into or you don't touch. I look at Jesus Christ as a spiritual covering of his disciples, and we know that Peter was married. There's no mention of him ever addressing his marriage or any other relationships that they had. He didn't touch that side of their life, and they were with him every day for 36 months. There's a lot of areas that the Bible doesn't record where Christ got involved. I just think you got to be careful because control. This is where the controlling comes in, the manipulation comes in, the loss of free will, the replacement of the Holy Spirit. You become the Holy Spirit for people. And sometimes when you want the best for someone, you want them to make godly decisions. The temptation is to control, manipulate, or strongly force them to make that decision, and that's crossing lines. At the end of the day, that person belongs to Christ. They don't belong to you. They're not your property. This is always kind of controversial because it's both sides of the fence. There's some spiritual coverings that aren't involved at all in people's lives. They just kind of, they're a distant relationship. You know, they just kind of they become like a guru or a mentor. To throw you a clever word once in a while, yeah, go brush your teeth. You're fine. They give you small things, but they're uninvolved in your life, and you wish they would be more involved. And then you have some folks who want to know, well, where were you last night, where'd you go yesterday, and how much do you tithe, and who are you dating? I don't think you should date that person. Well, I wouldn't spend my money that way. You should vote Republican. You know what? There's a lot there as a covering. You don't have the authority from God to touch.
Yeah. I mean, you think of, and you and I have not been pastoring, you know, all that long, relatively speaking, compared to those that have been called of God and into the ministry for, you know, decade after decade after decade. But we've had enough experience that people love to come and say, you know, here's my issue. What should I do? Should I be dating this person? Should I marry this person?
Yeah.
What should I do with my finances? Again, like you said, all of those questions, you kind of need to approach that very carefully and say, really, what you want to do is say, you've got to go to God. You've got to ask God these questions. Because if we set ourselves up as judge, jury, and the ones who determine the verdict in people's lives, it's a very dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
You could be accused of manipulating and controlling somebody's life. And that's not something that you want to do, because to go back to an earlier point that we were making, a person's believer priesthood, you've got to honor their doctrine of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to give them the opportunity for them to grow their faith in their relationship with God. You don't want to become a substitute for their relationship with God.
Yes.
And so often they will come and say, I need you to tell me how to deal with my finances. I mean, I remember one time, one of the NBA players, a young man who came into the league and signed a multi-million-dollar contract, approached me and said, I got a lot of money, you know, what should I do with it?
Wow.
And of course, the immediate temptation is, well, just give it to me. I'll take care of it for you.
Love and love.
You know, that's, I'd be happy to direct that part of your life. No, I said, geez, I don't know, but you've got to pray, you've got to seek God,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to have a plan, because—
yes.
You don't want to be like some of these professional athletes. You could just blow through millions and millions of dollars and end up your career ending and you're bankrupt.
Yes.
So have a plan, but I'm not going to tell him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell him what to do with his money. That's God gave you that, and God wants to teach you how to be a good steward of your finances. Now, if you want to know, are there good ministries that you can support? Is there a good place for you to give your money? Can you help in this realm in terms of mission work or, let's say, an orphanage? Of course, you can give those suggestions, but you don't control that part of their life.
Yes.
That's not what a covering does for a person.
It's like this thought, these two words, counsel and advice. And as a covering, you're going to give both. Advice is more guidance. It's more, okay, what do I get cheap gas? You go down the road, make a right, there's a gas station, that's advice. I'm giving you strict directional. It's directional. Counsel is more consideration. It's more meditation. It's more connecting someone with the mind of God than it is directional. Counsel is more two things. It's observations and options. That's all it is. This is what I've been observing based on what you've said. This is what I've observed in your life. That's an observation. And here are some options based on the observations. Then the person's got to hear from God. It stops right there. You're right. The temptation is great two ways. People, when they respect you, or you've been instrumental in their life, you've helped them grow with God on some level, or you've helped others grow, will come to you and ask, what should I do? Particularly young people will do that.
Yes.
What should I do? And I'm sure you have a wealth of experience with it. What should I do? What should I do? Because they're earnest and they're sincere. And then on the other side, you as a covering, you really want to help people. And there's a part of you that thinks you can protect them from bad decisions and you can protect them from evil. And as a spiritual covering, it's not your job to protect them from failure and bad decisions because you're not going to do it anyway. It's like a parent with their kids. You know, you do everything you can, helicopter mom, to protect your kids. And then they go out there and they still got to live.
Yeah.
And they spend more waking hours away from you than with you.
Yeah.
So how are you going to protect them in some respects? So it's like there's that double temptation, but really it's up to the believer to understand who they are in Christ. And this goes up to the other question that we've been thinking about is to understand the doctrine of believer priesthood, who I am as a believer priest of Christ, who I am as what am I in Christ? What do I have access to? Number one, who am I? What do I have access to? And what has God called me to? Okay, who am I? I'm a blood-bought believer of Christ. I'm under the blood. I'm in Christ. I'm positioned before God, Christ, as certain things. I'm righteous. I'm forgiven. I'm complete. I'm accepted. Okay, now, what are my options? Okay, I have the Word of God. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got spiritual counsel if I need it. I have the Church of Christ. I have a call on my life. I have a walk by faith. These are things that I have access to that God uses to guide my life. And that a covering is part of that guidance. It's part of what I have access to. It doesn't replace all of that. I think sometimes in human nature, when someone's helpful to us, we keep going back to the well.
Yeah. And there's such a danger attached to that, too. For instance, somebody comes and says, you know, should I marry this person? And you say, you know, yes. And then things don't turn out so well. And what do? They come back to you.
The woman you gave me.
And they say, you told me to marry her.
Yes.
And it did not turn out well at all. And therefore, I'm placing the blame of my fallen marriage squarely upon you.
Or you tell the wife, you know what? He told me to marry you.
Yeah. But ultimately, think about it. Who's responsible for my decisions? I am.
Yes.
I am. So you don't want to, because as much as you would like to place the blame upon somebody else and say it was their decision, not mine, their influence, not mine. So I turned to them. I got all my direction, guidance, and counsel from them. You know, that's not the way life operates because ultimately it comes down to you're going to be, you know, sitting with the consequences of your decisions, and there's not going to really be anybody to blame except yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to remember that as those in positions giving counsel to people and providing guidance and being a covering. A covering is there just to protect, to provide some semblance of guidance, direction, answer some objective questions.
Yes.
But when it comes to who do I date? What about my money? Who should I vote for president?
Where should I work?
Yeah. And even some theological views. Well, clearly share those theological views from a divine perspective.
Right.
And say, this is my understanding and this is the understanding of these sound theologians. Now you have to come to your conclusions personally. That's what a covering will do. Not control, but yes, provide that kind of covering and guidance.
Romans 14:4-5, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. As much as we are persuaded about truth, they have to be persuaded about truth. Which brings us to another covering. The Word of God is a covering for me. The Word of God is a phenomenal covering for me. People always say, well, there's some things in the Bible that don't address my life. It may not address the words, but the principle of being led by the Spirit according to the words of God are addressed. Everything in your life is addressed by God. God's Spirit will use God's Word. And you'll be surprised at the creative, unique way the Holy Spirit can take the Word of God and apply it in a specific area of your life to bring in light. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of His Word gives light and understanding to the simple. Understanding. You understand things. There are things that happen in my life that God may not give me an answer to, but God also gives me a word instead of an answer. It helps me to walk by the word when I don't have the answers. I don't have to have answers and explanations and definition for my life. The Bible is not Wikipedia or Google. It's not going to define everything in my life, but it's going to define the things that matter with God's mind.
Well, that leads us to another question. Do you personally get to choose your spiritual covering?
I believe God chooses your spiritual covering, because I think the universal premise for experiential Christian life is I'm led by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit will choose my pastor. The Holy Spirit will direct me to someone to disciple me. The Holy Spirit will direct me in my accountability, because ultimately that's the fourth layer of covering. The Holy Spirit is a covering for me. So if the Holy Spirit is covering for me, He will lead me to other coverings. He'll lead me to the Word of God. He'll lead me to the Church of God. He'll lead me to the pastor. The Holy Spirit will choose that. And you may not like your spiritual covering. I don't think it's built upon preference. It's not built upon preference. It's built upon the leading of God. Case in point, why do I need a pastor? The Holy Spirit says so. The Word of God says so. I need a pastor. I'm under a pastor. Otherwise, why would God give a gift that He didn't want you to use?
Yeah. And I mean, in a very general sense, the Scripture reminds us in Proverbs 13:20, if we walk with the wise, we will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. I mean, that's God's way of saying you do have a choice in terms of what your covering is and who your covering is. Walk with wise people.
Yep.
Walk with people who have proven themselves over time and experience faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Walk with people that are committed to see the fulfillment of the Great Commission.
Yes.
Walk with people that have a heart of compassion and love for lost souls. I mean, these are people that when you are around them, you spend time with them, they become a covering in your life.
Yes.
But if you choose to be a companion of fools, that's your way of saying, I am a fool and I want to stay in that condition and I don't want that to change. So my choice of companions actually constitutes a provision to continue in my flesh.
I also think that in a relationship, and this is interesting, in, say, a marriage, I think I say this often to women, when you're going to marry a man, in Ephesians 5:20, 21, and 22, you're coming under the covering of that man as a husband. So you need to consider this strongly. I think a husband and wife consider differently marriage. A man has to consider, is God leading me to be a covering for this woman? Take on that responsibility. And a woman has to say, is he going to be a covering in my life? I got to look at his life, spiritually speaking, and say, can he cover me spiritually? Sometimes women, they see a pretty face, and that guy, it's not going to be a great spiritual covering. And then you wonder why on the other side of the I do, you don't walk with God, because you married a face or a body, and you didn't marry spiritually. You didn't make a spiritual choice. You made a visual choice. But I have to be careful with a relationship, even in a friendship. if you get into a friendship with someone, you have to consider, okay, is this a godly relationship? Do we have a spiritual accountability between us, a Jonathan and David, where you can come to me and I can come to you, and there's a bit of a covering there? If it's not that, then it's going to be interesting, because when the rubber meets the road and carnal situations come up, what are we going to do? One of us is going to say, well, we're not doing that. I'm not of God. And the other one says, well, I'm okay with doing that. Like, I was counseling a guy in Old Dominion College, and he was telling me that he has a friend that likes to go out and drink. He's a strong Christian, and God bless him. He said to his friend, he said, well, I'm your friend, but I'm not going to do that. He said, well, you're my friend. Then you should go with me. He said, I'm not your friend because I drink. I'm your friend whether you drink or not. But you should know that I'm not going to go with – I'm the friend that doesn't drink with you. I'm that friend. See, what we do does not define our friendship. Who we are defines our friendship. So I'm the one that doesn't do that. And the guy couldn't get his head past it. He went out a few more times. And then the guy ultimately started – stopped going out to drink because he saw a friend that had integrity. And he realized this guy really cares about me. So this whole idea about – being a covering in a relationship, it means you got to make the godly choices and have that kind of influence in a relationship.
Mm. And, of course, there may be some saying, well, what would qualify someone, or what would qualify me to be a spiritual covering in somebody else's life? Well, maybe you have to ask yourself this question. How committed am I to see that person succeed spiritually?
That's excellent.
If I'm committed to see that person succeed from a spiritual perspective, then I can potentially be a covering in that person's life.
That's excellent.
But if I have any other motives, then they're in trouble and I'm in trouble as well. Because God always searches the motives of our hearts. But if my motive is pure and all I want to see that person do is grow in their faith and become established in the grace of God and have a life that's filled with meaning, purpose, and faithfulness toward God and his call upon their life, then I could potentially qualify as a covering.
Well, I know that to piggyback that, I'd also say the greatest thing you can do as to be a spiritual covering on some level in someone's life is simply walk with God. Your walk is influential. Our Christian walk is very, very loud in 2 Corinthians 3:2. It's very, and many times people that are your hovering in your life, they may not always have a word for you, but their life shouts at you. And you make decisions based on the life you've observed. It's not this mentor guru thing where you go to them and they pull out a scroll and kind of tell you, well, you know, you should do this. That's a mentor apprenticeship. That's not what this is. A spiritual covering is more relational. It's more observational. And it's occasionally verbal, but it's a lot of observation. Some of the greatest spiritual coverings in my life have hardly said anything to me, but their life shouts at me, spiritual things. Their life shouts at me. A lot of times you think about the covering of a father in a family, and there's a lot of times he doesn't say a whole lot, but his life shouts to his children. It shouts when he walks in integrity. It shouts about what's important to him. So I love the idea of just your walk with God is influential. Never forget, your presence is a great part of your portion. Your presence is a great part of your portion.
And don't you think that spiritually minded believers sense their need for these kinds of coverings that we've talked about today in the broadcast, and they're not afraid to seek out those kinds of coverings and to have them be a part of their lives, because it does produce accountability. It does. It produces the qualities and the characteristics of a Christ-like life. And who doesn't want that in their life? So, again, there's nothing wrong with seeking out these kinds of coverings and finding them in people, again, that have some spiritual experience under their belt. They've walked with God. Mm-hmm. They have been proven faithful over time. And then, again, you can discern the difference when you're under a covering and the benefits of being under that covering, and when the covering can become a little bit controlling. That's when you have to step away from it and realize that this is not healthy. This is not what God ordered or ordained for my life, and maybe I need to step away from it.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I really feel that God brings people in your life and out of your life, and seasons of maturity. I also think that sometimes as you grow as a believer, you grow in discernment. And God may have given you someone in your life when you will lack discernment. As you grow in discernment, you can discern, okay, where I was at with God, in this place, this person was very instrumental in my growth. But in this particular place, maybe someone else can grow me a little bit differently. Like, say there was a guy who was a new believer, who was more mature than you, and you were a new believer. You were newer than him, and he kind of just kind of showed you a few things. But then at a certain point, God graduated you. That can happen.
Amen. Well, we're out of time, friends, but thank you so much for joining us for the broadcast today. And we do want to extend the invitation for you to come out to our local church. If you don't have the covering of a local assembly, then maybe you'd like to come out and join us for some fellowship. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive right here in Baltimore. And our church services on Sunday are 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6:30 p.m. Sunday evening. Thanks again for joining us, Pastor Rinaldo. Thanks for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
And thank you for being with us, friends. Don't forget, subscribe to the show on YouTube.
Happy
Apple
birthday,
Podcasts.
Pastor Love.
Hallelujah. I'm a year younger. God bless you, friends. Until Monday at the same time.